thank you for tuning in to the Telling of His Goodness broadcast. We pray you were inspired, blessed, and encouraged from hearing the Word of God today. If you would like a copy of my book, Telling of His Goodness, you may phone me at 318-305-6965. You may like me on Facebook, connect with me on Google+, or Twitter. May God bless you until we meet again at the same time next week.
A wonder in my
soul. Feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. Johnny Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations. 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive. Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Hallelujah!
Come on, tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I'm glad the blood still works. Come on, tell another one. Are you glad? How do you know it's working? Because it's working on me right now. Woo! Ah, glory, 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 glory. I know the blood still works. Give the Lord a hand of praise if you will. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh for the blood that still works. We give you praise, glory, and honor for your darling son Jesus, who gave his life that we may have eternal life. And for that we say thank you. We bless your name now and ask that you would allow the Holy Ghost to walk us through the text. Reveal to us the principles that he would we ponder. For your glory and for our good. We ask it all in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, all right, all right. Now just stop. Because we're going to either sing or I'm going to preach. And I'm voting. I'm ready for y'all to go on to sing some more myself. I got a word that I've got to share, so I'm going to bring the word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Beginning at verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Christ and him crucified. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Just a little while. I won't speak from the subject, keeping your focus on Christ and the cross. Keeping your focus on Christ and the cross. May I suggest to you again today, my brothers and sisters, that as we live in this changing world, what is conspicuously obvious is that God's word does not change. That even though in our attempts to win people over, we have watered down the word, we have turned our preaching to please itching ears, we have become sermonic acrobatic performers, entertainers extraordinaire. We have become politically correct in bringing forth what the world determines to be the word of God. We have lost the power of the church to the world. There was a time the world came looking to the church for answers, for help, for guidance, for direction. Now it appears that the church is seeking those things from the world. It's sad that the spiritual fervor and or the spiritual temperature and or the spiritual atmosphere has changed so much that it is not popular to preach Christ and the cross anymore. It's deemed old school preaching. But can I tell you, it's that old school preaching that has gotten us to where we have come. The old songwriter said, it was good enough for my old mother. It was good enough for my old father. And it's good enough for me. But no, not today. Because we don't like being peculiar. We like fitting in. We'll even fit in wherever we can get in, rather than standing up and being counted as a child of the King. Paul is preaching to wicked Corinth. He has been to Athens. He has spoken with the great philosophers of that day, the great theologians, the great orators of that day. He has mimicked in that setting some of their thinking and then rose above their thinking to introduce to them the wisdom of God, that man's wisdom was not that good for anything beyond this world. But what Paul had to offer was good for this world and the world to come. And so he only spent a few days in Athens, but here he spent a year and a half in Corinth. And so he got to Corinth and he started dealing with issues with people who were supposed to be church folk but were filled with carnality. In other words, they were acting just like folk in the world. They had preachers who had gotten their own people, and their people were putting them up as the best preacher and the best church against one another, and they would follow them and would not follow another preacher preaching the truth of God because they were hooked on the personality rather than the preaching of the gospel. Paul had to deal with that and had to tell them, listen, did Paul baptize any of you in his name? Was Paul crucified for any of you? I don't want you all running around here talking about I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos. Listen, we've got to keep our focus on the Christ. And then he went on to make sure that they understood that the wisdom of this world was limited to this world. And yet how God would take the wisdom of this world and bring it to naught. Make nothing of it, because without him it is nothing. So when he goes through all of that and deals with the fact that those who are not saved consider preaching foolishness anyway, he used what they considered foolishness to save the people who would believe what the word of God said through preaching. No wonder the word says, how can they hear without a preacher? But the problem became, how could he preach except he be sent? Some preachers weren't sent. They just got up and went because they sounded like a preacher. They knew how to mimic a preacher. They looked like a preacher, prayed like a preacher, hollered like a preacher. So I guess that made them a preacher. No, not in God's book. He is the one who sins. Paul made clear that he was not sent to baptize, but to preach the gospel in the 17th verse of the first chapter. And so he gets to the second chapter and he says, and I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech. I didn't come here trying to prove to you how smart I was. I didn't come using big words, as one old preacher say, $10 words. I came to you not even in your wisdom, declaring the testimony of God. He said, as a matter of fact, I determined, I made up my mind. When I went down to Corinth, I wasn't going to get hooked up in that he say, she say mess. I made up my mind I wasn't going to get with this clique or with that clique. I made up my mind I wasn't going to get caught up in all this church politic and all of the mess that goes on in the church. I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. You want to talk to me? Let's talk about Jesus Christ and him crucified. I don't want to hear about what he's doing, what she's doing. Let's talk about Jesus Christ and him I don't care who's sleeping with who. I want to talk about who's living for who. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And my brothers and my sister, it was His determination. And may I suggest to you, we do well to come to church with a made up mind. I didn't come to church to hear this mess and to hear that mess. I didn't come to church to be a part of this click and that click. I didn't come to church to see what the goings ons were. I didn't come to church for this and for that. I didn't come to be a part of this and for that. I didn't come to rub shoulder with the muck and muck. I came to church to hear about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul goes on to tell him, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in trembling. I was with you. In other words, Paul was letting them know, I've identified with the issues underneath your skin. I am not separate from nor disconnected from the realities of our pains, our sufferings, our fears, inhibitions, situations, circumstances. I know them. He says, but I came for a higher purpose. And my speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Listen at this now. See, Paul said, one of the things, and I think it's helpful for us to understand, is that we get bored with the cross and the blood and Christ dying because we think that all it really offers to us is salvation. Now, don't get me wrong. If that was the only thing it offered, that would be good enough. But the problem is that we have not delved deep enough into the cross and the Christ who died on the cross and recognized everything that happened on the cross had a meaning significant to our success here on planet Earth and our salvation for eternity. In other words, if all we think is He died, He rose, and went back to heaven, and that's it, we have miserably missed it. Everything we have need of has its answer in the cross. Your greatest, deepest needs are met at the cross. And when you begin to understand that, you recognize the first thing that Jesus did was paid our sin debt. Well, here's what I'm trying to tell you. If you never had your sin debt paid, you could cut it off right there because you wouldn't get no further than where you are right now. The sin debt is where Satan has presented a bill that you couldn't pay for your own sins. Only the precious and pure blood of Jesus Christ could pay for your sin debt. It was so high, so expensive, that even your own life could not pay that bill. And Jesus, who was sinless and perfect and pure, paid for it with His precious blood. But that's not all. He paid for your healing. By His stripes, ye are healed. That was Isaiah looking at the cross. The cross having come, and Peter experienced that, was looking back at the cross. And he said, by His stripes, ye were healed. In other words, it's a done thing in the spirit. It's a done thing. It's a finished thing. It's a fixed thing where God is concerned. We have now got to operate in the spirit and in faith to press our claim to get what Jesus has paid for. Our healing depends on our faith in what Jesus did for us at Calvary. And I'm not just talking about healing of the natural body. It includes all of that. But I'm talking about healing in every area of your life where there is sickness. But then that's not only that he did at Calvary, but then our peace and prosperity was placed on him at Calvary. The peace that passeth all understanding. Do you know why when God should have gotten rid of you, he didn't? And you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, because what you forget is that Jesus didn't just pay for your past sins, and he didn't just pay for your present sins, but he also paid for your future sins. And so even when you forget or don't know, he's got an arrangement with the Father, because he saved you from everything that the enemy charged against you. And your repentance of that sin and your confession of that sin says to him that it was a good investment in you. He knew you weren't going to be perfect after he saved you. That's why he had to keep sanctifying you. Anybody is being sanctified? See, your sanctification is what keeps you holy. You see, he died to make you holy, but to be sanctified keeps you in a state of present tense of holiness. Listen, because without that, the enemy can tempt you and tease you, but he can't make you do what he used to do. When the enemy wants to come back and do what he used to do before you got saved, you can tell him, like the late B.B. King used to say, the thrill is gone. It's gone away from me. But don't fool yourself. There's still some things left in the carnal mind, in the carnal man, that's still in a corner of your carnality. It may be in the deep crevices of your existence, but they're still there. And every now and then, you are that hell creeps out of you. He's still perfecting you. He's still working on you. Now, y'all sound like I'm preaching by myself here. Well, let me put it this way. He's still working on me. He's still perfecting me. He's still cleaning up some stuff in me. He's still turning me around. He's still lifting me up higher. He's still getting me together. And I believe I'm not only by myself, but he's doing it for somebody else today. And so, my brothers and sisters, listen. It's important to understand that all of this is important. Paul is saying, listen, I'm not doing all of this by man's wisdom and man's excellency of speech. I'm not just trying to say certain poetic phrases that sound good and tickle your ear and make you say, oh, he's smart. I'm trying to get to your heart and take the truth where it belongs, where it can create a change. Listen at this. He says, in demonstration of the Spirit and and of power. Oh, my brothers and sisters, I wish we could get back to that place in the church where we ain't got to talk, but we can demonstrate the reality of what God said right here. In the New Testament church, the church at its birth has been called the church at its best because they took God for his word and they believed him and they demonstrated their faith right then and there, and he demonstrated his power right then and there. Everything folk needed, they heard in the word, they responded to the word, and they got it from the word because of what Jesus did for them at Calvary. The Savior, the Messiah, the one who was promised to them, even those who before he went to the cross had what the faith of believers needed to have, knowing that he was the answer. And they received everything they had need of. You know, when we come to church Sunday after Sunday and we leave just as broken as we came, just as messed up as we came, confused as we came, leave here pouting, mad, nasty, acting just like still talking about folk when we came in here, talking about folk when we leave out of here, all of those nasty ways, something is wrong. That's the carnality of the Corinthian church, not the church of believers of Jesus Christ. They were about changing, about rearranging. They were about making a difference in people's lives. And my brothers and sisters, listen. Paul made it clear that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Don't get hooked up on men and their wisdom, because one, it's limited, and